We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is up, Roto Grinders? Dean here, filling in for Stevie. Stevie TPFL, I presume he will back soon enough, but he's dealing with we shouldn't tell his personal business, but some good news. He's away. He'll be back soon enough. He's going to be holding down the fort. You know, he asked me to, hey, you know, would you mind picking up a shift? What day? I'm like, yeah, I'm a team player. Sure, why not? Sunday night. Sunday night, you say, oh, okay, yeah, sure. We can talk about the NBA slate on Monday. Usually it's like 5, 6, maybe 7. If the NBA is feeling ambitious, maybe 8 games. 15 bad boys. Everybody in the association's playing, so look at me, egg on my face. But this isn't me complaining about it. Joined today, who also joined the short straw along with me, Keith Eister. Eyes, we're going to do our best to talk about this 15-gamer as efficiently as possible. We're doing it on a Sunday night. We just watched the Chiefs run about 97 offensive plays and just barely edge out the Tennessee Titans. Shout out to the home office there in Nashville. Again, 15-gamer, recording this, you know, before we go to bed. Well, I presume I can't speak for you, Keith, but I'll be going to bed soon enough after this. It's been a long day for me of watching 7 hours of nonstop football. Yeah, so we're going to do it, man. We're in this together. I hope you packed a lunch or like a protein bar. Yeah, we excited?
Yeah, man. This is an exciting one for sure. 15 NBA games. I think it's the largest NBA slate I can ever remember. I mean, we've gotten 11 games and 12 games before, but 15 is just wild. And then there's like not blocks of games. They're all scattered throughout the night every 15 minutes. So if you don't have a wide open Monday night where you can spend from 6 p.m. Eastern on through like 10 p.m. Eastern at your computer, willing to make changes for any news and things like that, this might not be the slate for you, but it's going to be a wild one. Like you said, we'll try to get through it as efficiently as possible. 15 games is a lot to talk about. Maybe there's some games we can X out and just kind of skim through real quick and say this guy and that guy, and that's about it. But yeah, lots of games, awesome slate, plenty of options. I think the problem is the timing, and I think we need to talk about that a little bit. Like if we don't know who's going to pop up questionable. It's an island game for most everybody. I believe 6 or 8 NBA teams played last night. So a couple people on back-to-backs, but definitely an interesting dynamic in that most people didn't play yesterday and most people do not play tomorrow. So island game, maybe that means we get less injury news and there's not as much value, but there's so many options on the slate. It's going to be a wild one to break down for sure.
You've never seen a 15 game slate like anything greater than that, because there's no more teams. Like, Not greater than. I think the last game of the year, like the last day of the year, like on a Wednesday, everybody plays or something like that. That's happened before. And not until like the Seattle expansion team comes in and the Vegas expansion team comes in. What was 16 game slate in about 5 years? Like next election or something like that. That's the reason why the NBA is going dark on Tuesday. There's no NBA at all. So, and that, I think that's also the reason why they spread the games out too. I was reading about they're giving away the app for free. Like if you guys do not have a league pass, you can watch any game you want in the association free on the app. And they also want like games finishing at different times too. So that this is just what this is the research I was doing before the show. I was like, why is every single game spread out by 15-minute increments? And they just want to have they're probably going to do their best take over social media, that kind of thing. And you know, there's Monday Night Football obviously going down. But all right, without further ado, enough nonsense. We got to dive in. Do appreciate the shout out to Sleeper, who's sponsoring the podcast. Use the promo code Grinders, 100% deposit match up to $100. The very first game on the slate is the Wizards, the Washington Wizards at the Charlotte Hornets. 220.5 is the total. We have the Hornets as 3-point favorites here, as far as the body parts, as far as who's in and who's out. The big thing to monitor here would be Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal did not play on Sunday. This is the back half of a back-to-back for Washington. I believe it was a COVID illness, I want to say, protocol deal. He's questionable. If he doesn't go, things shuffle up. As far as Charlotte, we're expecting LaMelo Ball still to be out, and Gordon Hayward may or may not come back. We'll see. And DSJ, Dennis Smith Jr., also has a COVID protocol issue. Cody Martin, as he's been for the last month, I believe, is doubtful. All right. So is this one? Okay, I'll throw it to you. I guess some pieces could be interesting if Beal doesn't play on the Washington side. Some value may open up.
Yeah, entering health and safety protocols on Sunday for Beal, so I don't really expect him to play. It was, a 3-game slate Sunday night, and Porzingis was chalk. Didn't do great, but I think the Beal news is huge here. Being the first game of the night on a 15-game slate, obviously we would want to fade this game normally, but the matchup against Charlotte is really good, so I have some interest here. Especially if Beal is out. If Beal's in, I can probably fade it and get away with it. I really don't need to consider anything. But with Beal out, I think you've got to look back to Porzingis. 7,700 should have all the usage in the world. I know Sunday did not go quite as planned, but this is a much better matchup than he had. Charlotte has notoriously struggled against bigs. I think Porzingis would be a priority if Beal is out. Kuzma is fine at 7K. Will Barton, I think, at 4,200. He was the chalk also on Sunday as kind of the value option. Only saw 24 minutes. Like I said, though, this is a lot better matchup. I really like Will Barton here. If Beal is out, I don't know that I need to get any more weird with this game just because of the nature of the slate. Like being the first game of the night, I want as little exposure as possible to this game. But Porzingis would be a priority if Beal is out.
Yeah. You got anything else here before we move on? Rozier was really good. His first game back against Brooklyn. That was a good matchup, obviously. I'm sorry. I was trying to mess with, I was trying to see if we can get our video up, and I apologize. I fell out for a second. I knew you were saying some fabulous stuff, but I couldn't follow along. Unfortunately, did you touch on Charlotte or no?
I did not touch on Charlotte, just Washington.
Okay. Yeah. So, what do you have as far as the Hornets?
Yeah, Rozier, first game back, you were saying, got up to 36 minutes right out of the gate, put up a nice game. This is kind of his show here, especially if Dennis Smith Jr. is out. Gordon Hayward obviously matters as well. I don't know that he's going to come back. Obviously, we'll know that before the slate starts. So Rozier, if Hayward is still out and DSJ are out, I think Rozier is absolutely in play. Probably don't want to take up too many roster spots outside of that. I think if DSJ misses, you could take a look at James Bouknight at 3,300. Should run into a few extra minutes here. He's a guy who has potential to produce really highly per minute. Played 29 minutes in the last one, so I think Bouknight could be a punt option if DSJ is out.
All right. At 7:15, by the way, you know, it's 7 o'clock is Washington, Charlotte, 7:15 East Coast. Everything's going to be like, but 7:15, but tip off at like 7:23, and then it's going to be so goofy. I would love it if they actually tip off at that time. We'll see if that's going to happen. That's probably wishful thinking. Houston versus the Magic, 7:15 on the East Coast, 228.5 is the total here. Houston is a 4.5-point dog. Good matchup here for Orlando. Jayson Tate, I assume he's still going to be out. We'll see. Jabari Smith expected back from an illness. He didn't play last time out. And Orlando, you know, business as usual with Harris and Fultz and Mo Wagner, not terribly important. This seems like it could be kind of a fun game.
Yeah, this is one of those games that's like so bad it's good, right?
Yeah.
like we love targeting both of these teams. So they're playing each other. The problem I have with Houston side, Jabari Smith has been out the last couple of games. So Şengün's price has come up. We saw Tari Eason play a few extra minutes in the last game. With Smith coming back, though, I like everyone's just kind of priced appropriately. Jalen Green at 6,400 is questionable also. Looks like probable. So Green's expected to play. Smith coming back just kind of makes the whole situation murky, and I'm not sure I love the game environment as much as I usually would. I mean, you can play Green and Porter on pretty much any slate, I think. Good matchup for those guys. I think Şengün's price is tough with Jabari coming back. Maybe you just look at Jabari at 5,700. I think that's a fair price for him, assuming he can get back to those 30-ish minutes that he's been playing. I like the game environment. Again, just the nature of the slate, this game being earlier in the night, I probably won't take an overweight stance on many pieces here. But Jabari Smith is the one that's kind of standing out on the Houston side. On the Orlando side, Banchero like just keeps getting it done. His price keeps going up, but he just keeps showing us more and more ceiling. 40 minutes in that game against Sacramento, 33 points, 16 rebounds, put up 62 DK points. Like that, this dude looks legit. I don't know. I don't love the idea of paying 8,700, but it's a matchup against Houston here. 15 game slate. I don't know how much exposure I have, but man, I'm interested in that ceiling. Probably not messing with much else here on the Orlando side.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Like Banchero, like, is there still meat in the bone at 8.7 on DK? The price has, you know, gradually worked its way up. And you mentioned Şengün. Like, is there still meat in the bone for Şengün? Do we think he even starts, right? Is Smith all of a sudden going to start again and Şengün going to go back to the bench? That may happen as well too. And we know how super handsy he can get. But he's also a phenomenal fantasy point minute guy. 6.5K. It's, you know, it feels like it should be more fun than it actually is when you look at the prices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right, yeah, Smith being out, definitely, like, Şengün's price has come because of that. So, and Suggs missed a bunch of time. Obviously, Cole Anthony still out. But Orlando's kind of the same deal. Like, they were missing a bunch of guys. So, pricing is just kind of right on this game, where usually we'd have a ton of value pieces from these two teams because they just get – they're bad teams and they get blown out a bunch. But, yeah, unfortunately, especially being one of the earlier games of the night, I don't think I end up with a ton of exposure here.
What if I told you, like, when the season started that Bull Bull is going to be 6'6", so, like, not height. Of course, he's not 6'6 in height. He's, like, 7'2". But, yeah, and shout out to Bull Bull, like, resurrecting his career in Denver, never used him, but looking great. I don't know if they're still meeting that bone at 6'6", but that's of note, I suppose. Fun player to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Great story there. Love seeing him have success. I don't know that this is a slate to target it. I get it. I wouldn't try to talk anybody off of it. I think he could absolutely go out there and put up 35 again. I don't know. Great matchup. Like I said, wouldn't talk anybody off of it. I'm just not sure how willing I'm going to be to tie up roster spots this early.
I think we've got a catch-up game. OKC at Detroit, 223.5 is the total. OKC, 1.5-point dog here. Like, of course you can roster SGA. Of course you can roster Cunningham. Of note, looks like Poku not going to be available. But OKC, like, they still have 19 more guys available. Like, instead of running 13-guy rotations, they'll run 12. They'll be okay. Jalen Durant expected to play as well, too, which kind of hits Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart's his ceiling cap. You know, you got anything here? Like, I don't love this. Just a general thought. Just don't love it.
Yeah, completely agree with you. OKC's rotation varies so much night to night. Like, there's just no reason whatsoever to play anyone outside of SGA. Giddy's rates come down with SGA in there. Like, just no interest whatsoever. and I don't trust the minutes from anybody else on the roster. So give me the SGA Cunningham stack, I think, is a fine to play this game. And I pretty much have no interest in anyone else. I believe Bagley has a chance to come back for Detroit too. So with Duren and Bagley back, that could really mix up the bigs rotation.
Is he like a DMPCD, or do you think he's a guy that eats like 10, 15 minutes?
It's tough. Like they want to see what Duren has for sure, I think. So he's ahead of him. I don't know.
And like, Stewart's ahead of him. Like where did he get his minutes?
Like I could see him cutting into Stewart a little bit, but maybe not. Maybe they play him at the four a little bit. I don't know. I'll have to see. Like I said, definitely not a situation I would be trying to target on this.
Yeah, we're not playing him no matter what. If he's playing 0 minutes or 12 minutes, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of like maybe eats on Stewart a little bit or Durant a little bit, but we shall move on. New Orleans, Indiana. This could be a fun one, too. I really like this New Orleans team. 235 is the total. They're 6-point favorites here against the Pacers. As far as injuries in this game, New Orleans, as far as I can tell, is fully healthy. Indiana, like Aaron Naismith, whatever. Like we've seen him start, but who cares? And, you know, in the absence of him starting, you know, if he's not available to go, they'll play who would jump in there? God, I can't think of the guy.
It has been Duarte, but he's out now.
What happened to Duarte? What did they miss?
Ankle, I believe it was. Yeah, pretty significant ankle sprain. Expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, well, there you go. I was wondering why. Like, why don't I see his name here? But still, and Indiana's another one of those teams, especially their bigs is just so annoying. I hate their big man rotation, and especially when Ty Turner was out earlier in the year when I was trying to figure out, like, Jalen Smith and Brissett and Jackson and Gogo Batase. I hate that. I just wish I had to deal with these players. But fun game, 235, a pretty big total. Indiana is a great team to pick on as far as yielding fantasy points. They play fast. They're the fifth fastest team in basketball. Defensively, they're the fifth worst defensive team as far as defensive rating. You know, New Orleans, the problem with them is they have almost too many guys, and it's hard to get, you know, 33 minutes out of Jonas Valanciunas or even out of Zion sometimes. Go for it.
Yeah, I like this game. I like New Orleans in particular here, but you kind of touched on it. Like when Zion and Ingram and McCollum are all in there, it's kind of like the Minnesota situation. Like there's too many guys here for DFS purposes. On a 15-game slate, I'm not sure that I want to try to guess which one of these Pelicans is going nuts on the night. I'm pretty sure that at least one of them is, probably two of them, because it's a fantastic matchup against Indiana, like you mentioned. I don't know who it's going to be. If Zion were to end up missing, then I would have a ton of interest in Ingram and McCollum, even JoVale probably. Like I want to have interest in this New Orleans team. Just with everybody healthy, it's really tough to figure out. They've all missed varying degrees of time already early this season, so pricing on each of them is up there. It's just a tough situation. It's a matchup I love, but I don't know. Like Ingram being the cheapest, I guess that would be my first choice. I like Zion too, don't get me wrong, and McCollum is fine. But I think Ingram is the guy I'm certain to have some exposure to, just because of the matchup and wanting to target somebody here. I don't know how many shots I'm going to take at the other guys, though.
They're all sort of priced where they should be priced, basically, is the problem. And you speculated as far as Zion, like, are they going to be resting him certain spots throughout the year? And if they do, like this, you know, a road game versus Indiana would be a spot to do it, theoretically.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep.
But, like, there's no reason to think, like, outside of, like, his injury history and it's a long season. They didn't play Sunday, right? They're definitely not playing on Tuesday. So it's an island game for them. Yeah. Like then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, Troy Murphy could be really interesting. This is a great team to fire threes on. I think Indiana's top three as far as yielding threes. Just a great team to pick on. But again, they're just too deep. And I don't know, man. And as far as Indiana, you know, you can always play Halliburton. You got anything else to say about Indiana?
Buddy Hield has been going nuts here recently.
Yeah.
Obviously very shooting dependent, but he's shown off a 40-point ceiling with regularity here. Duarte being out certainly solidifies his minutes. There was a little bit of concern. Like one of the first couple of games of the season, they just randomly didn't play him the entire game. That's completely gone away. He's been getting over 30 minutes with, like, I mean, for the last like five or six.
It's going to come back though, right? I think the Pacers are going to, I don't want to get too complacent with Pacers rotations as a general thought. Like, I just feel like there's going to be a general unpredictability to Indiana.
Or no? Yes, I think so. But with the injuries they're dealing with, I think it's pretty solidified right now. Mathurin is the one guy I could see kind of shaking up that mix. Yeah. With Duarte being out, maybe they want to try him in the starting rotation. I mean, the bigs, I totally agree with. Like the Jalen Smith, Isaiah Jackson, Goga. I don't want to mess with that at all. But I do have interest in Haliburton. And I think Heald's interesting just because of how well he's been shooting it here recently.
All right. Anything else here, or shall I move on?
Let's move it on.
Phoenix, Philly, 216.5 is the total. That's a really, really low number. Philadelphia, last I checked, playing at the slowest pace in all of basketball. Are they still doing that? They're second. Not surprisingly, Dallas is number one as far as pace in a slow department. I don't know how I phrase that strangely. But those two teams play really slow, right? Phoenix also plays really slow, bottom five as far as pace. 216.5 is a total. Kind of speaks to how slow these two teams play, especially collectively. Embiid still has that illness. We did see when he didn't play, we saw Montrezl Harrell draw a start, which was kind of surprising. It wouldn't have been if we didn't see that similar times before, where they just moved P.J. Tucker over to the five. But, you know, what would you anticipate? Would you anticipate they give it back to Harrell if Embiid doesn't go, or – like, who knows what's going on with him, but Embiid's had an illness for, it feels like, a week or so. And he also had that plantar fasciitis speculation. And, he's hard to trust right out the gate, it seems like. And, of course, there's no Harden. A lot of shots to go around. Tyrese Maxey, never shy. And, of course, on the Phoenix side, campaign is questionable. And they also lost Cam Johnson, I think, for, like, the entire season, right? He's out for the foreseeable future.
Like definitely. Expected to undergo surgery, I believe. I think it was a knee, if I recall correctly. Meniscus in his knee. So, yeah, Cam Johnson's out for the foreseeable future. Does that make them revisit talks with Jay Crowder? I don't know. But Crowder's certainly not going to be available for this game. So there is some minutes available. It's been Torrey Craig that's stepped in.
4K?
Yeah, 4K starting probably. Like 22 minutes in the last game is a little bit.
Well, that was a blowout. So he played a lot the first half. Yeah, I watched some of that game, but he's also not like a high usage guy, obviously. He's sort of a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, but I mean, depending on how much value, like I think this could be a slate where we don't see a ton of people miss. So we're going to be starved for value a little bit. Torrey Craig is certainly a guy that's in the conversation if he's going to play 26 to 28 minutes, which is probably a fair projection.
I think it'd be more than that, for the record. But I would be my guess, assuming this game doesn't get squirrely. I would guess more than that, 26 minutes. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. Just my thought on it. Other pieces, I'm just looking at – and like, it's weird. You say we might be a star for value. We might be. Like, we just don't know. We're just doing the best. Like, you know how that works. Like, if somebody looks like a great play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden, 3 hours
later, the 1:30 injury report comes out, and there's four stars on it, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, there's amazing value on this slate.
This person's out of my pool now.
Yes.
That's just how that's how it works in the NBA. How about the stars in this game? Where do we have Maxey? What's his price? What are you pricing Maxey at these days?
Yeah, he's very expensive. I think you need Embiid out to consider Maxey. He's 7,800 on DK.
Yeah.
I mean, he is showing off a 60-point ceiling with Embiid and Harden out. I don't know that he has that in him if Embiid is playing.
You see how many shots he took last game?
Over 20, I know that.
He put up a great DFS game, but he was 10 for 29. He was not shy.
Yeah.
39 minutes.
Definitely not shy. I don't love this game environment. So injuries are pretty much entirely dependent. Like you've mentioned, they're both really slow teams. They're both good defensive teams. If Embiid and Harden are both out, Harden's certainly out. If Embiid is out also, I think you have to have some interest in Maxey. Tobias Harris would enter the conversation. If Embiid plays, really tough matchup against Phoenix here. I don't have a ton of interest in Philly, hardly at all. The Phoenix side, I don't think with Ayton, Paul, Booker all in, I don't really see the need to play him on a 15-game slate against Philly. Like, just a bad game environment here. I think you look to the value for Torrey Craig. Dario Saric is 3,300. He got up to 21 minutes. Like you mentioned, a little, it was a blowout in the last game. Yeah. Maybe that was blowout induced. But I don't know. We'll see how much value we
revenge
have.
Game
but
for Dario.
What's that?
Revenge game for Dario Saric.
Oh, there you go.
He was on those terrible tanking Philadelphia teams, wasn't he? I feel like he was.
Yes, I believe so.
Thanks to Saric, like Embiid's there or somebody, like maybe Ben Simmons was there or something like that. I can't remember. I can't do it exactly as far as the timeline, but I'm pretty sure he's a part of those terrible teams. We moving on? I think we're moving on, right?
Yep, move it on.
All right. Milwaukee, Atlanta, 227 is the total. Milwaukee is a 4-point favorite here. It's a miracle. You're not going to believe this, but Giannis Antetokounmpo's healed. I love when they give them body parts. Like, we know what you're doing. Stop playing games. It's okay. Just tell us. Like, we know. He's expected to play. He's probable with his knee. And he also, like, sent out – he dropped a tweet, like, hanging out with his brother, like, before the game, like, shooting and messing around. And, you know, I mean, come on. Stop it. It was great, by the way. It was pretty cool. He was making fun of himself and his ability. He lost, like, a 3-point contest against – I think it was against his brother or some other teammates. Doesn't matter. Nice. Trae Young, he had an eye a couple days ago, and he was questionable with the eye. He played with the eye. In the same game, he got his shin. I believe he went to the locker room and he came back. But for what it's worth, right now, we're looking at questionable as far as his shin. I would guess he goes, but we'll see. Stay tuned. That's where we're at right now. If he doesn't go, you know, a guy like DeJounte Murray, I presume, would really run the show. They're kind of 1-1A right now. Giannis is a luxury. And do you have the money? How much is it going to hurt the rest of your lineup? That's kind of a wait and see, right?
Yeah. Really expensive, up at 12-6. Atlanta's played really good defense, too, for what that's worth. Again, just two pretty good teams here. Don't love this game environment. Obviously, always want some exposure to Giannis just because of the ceiling. I don't know. Like, because of the other side, like, you can't really fit in a Giannis and a Trae Young into, like, a game stack type of thing for tournaments. So I don't love this.
Not right now, at least.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If we get a bunch of guys out and we get value, the conversation changes.
Yeah.
But as we're looking at this the night before, it's really like, I don't see any way to fit in Giannis and Trae. If Trae misses, DeJounte Murray is a smash. Definitely play a ton of him. But like you said, like, Trae played 42 minutes in that game that he left for a minute because of the shin. He should be completely fine to play here. And that just kind of ruins the whole game overall for me, because I want the people I want to play are the expensive pieces, and it's just really not possible as it sits right now. If that changes, then the Giannis Trae stack would be phenomenal, obviously, but not a ton of interest in DeJounte with Trae Young in there. He's been getting it done with some regularity, which I don't see how that continues. It's like they're both not going to get 10 assists every game. Like, I can't imagine that continues. I'll probably pass on DeJounte on a 15-game slate if Trae's in there. And I don't see a ton of value to, like, on either side here either. So give me some Giannis, a little bit of Trae, but it's going to be tough to play them together.
In that game without Giannis, like, now Holiday spiked up to 9K. Portis is 6'9". Like, you can't touch that if Giannis is in there. Right. Like, it's not just basically unplayable. Lopez has been pretty good this year, but, you know, 5'8" kind of creeping up. The interesting one is Capella. It's kind of an outlier game, kind of a throwback game. He's played 35 minutes, and his minutes have been kind of all over the place this year. We haven't really seen him spike up to 35, but we're looking at a 21-19, and of course, he can really get going from a stocks perspective as well. I don't know if this is a good, like, obviously the matchup, Milwaukee's, like, awesome defensively. They're the best defensive team in basketball by several points, I believe. Their defensive rating, 100.6, right behind them is Cleveland, second best defensive team, which, man, Mobley, watching Mobley the other night.
He had, what, 8 blocks in that game? Just incredible.
And you see them coming, too. It's like, how does the shooter not see this? Like, he just swats everything. I'm so mad that he did not win the Rookie of the Year last year. I may have had a large chunk on that. Oh, what robbery that was. We're going to look back. He had to get hurt, didn't he? All right, let's stay on task. It's 15 games. But I think Capella is just sort of interesting at 5-5. And I don't know where those 35 minutes came from. And, you know, Okongwu has been like, I think they've just basically been chopping 48. I could be wrong on that.
They have been, yep.
Yeah. Why? I don't know if Okongwu was in foul trouble or just Capella was playing so good they couldn't take him off the court. But it's just good to see that that's in his bag. Like, he's capable of doing that still.
Yeah. Still Okongwu did have 5, so that might have been part of it.
Okay. Okay. Just interesting, I guess. But maybe he'll fall back to 25 or 26. But anything else we got here, or are we moving on?
I'm good here.
All right. Let's see. Did I skip a game? No, I did not skip a game. Okay. Portland and my Miami Heat. By the way, 8:30 local time, this game is going to be played in Miami. I guess there's too many East Coast games, but you know what? They gotta play these games 15 minutes apart. So and yet the Miami crowd, they're just showing up. They show up late. They think the second quarter is going to be starting or something. And they leave in the middle of the third, for the record. They got to hit up South Beach. Those are my people. 220 is the total. Portland in Miami, 7-point dog here. Lillard, I'm seeing Lillard questionable. Is that possible? He might come back. He might come back this game.
Yeah, I think it's looking like he might actually return for this one. I definitely saw a report over the weekend that Lillard is closer than Simons.
Yes, I'm seeing Simons at doubtful. That's surprising. I thought it was going to be a little bit more severe as far as the injury. Are we getting a discount? 9-1. 9-1 on Lillard. That's about – it's not terrible, especially if Simons is out.
With no Simons, yeah. I that's a really attractive price with no Simons, I think. Tough matchup. This is one of the most important situations, I think. I'm leaning that he doesn't quite make it back, which would leave all kinds of value on Portland. But if Lillard is in there, then there's really no value on Portland. So this is going to be one of the interesting ones, and – who knows if we'll have the news by lock.
By the way, you say tough matchup, and Miami, like, traditionally good, you know, good defensive team. Bam, a good defender. Butler, a good defender. But what they will do is they will give up threes. This year, they've given up the fourth most threes this year, 14.2 made threes. And, like, you know, again, Lillard, Simons, those guys, Chuck, Simons were not expected to play. But if Lillard's back, it's not a bad Lillard spot, I would just say, because, you know, he can theoretically hit 6 or 7 or 8, and it wouldn't shock me at all. If Lillard's out and Simons is out, I mean, are we Josh Hart 6'4"? There's still these guys have been the situation really hasn't changed a lot. Winslow at 4'6". Sharp, the rookie, has been kind of uneven, but he's been starting, but he's 5'2" now. I don't know. But
Keon Johnson at 4K. Like, it depends. Like,
those guys are fragile though.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they started Winslow at the point last game. Yeah, I mean, there's some value available here if Lillard is still out. But it's uncomfortable value. Like,
yes.
Nasir Little, I think you could take some shots on too. I don't know. Like, it's not a great game environment for most. I do agree with your 3-point take there that Lillard is absolutely in play. But Miami plays so slow. I don't love a ton of these other guys. I don't know, pricing would put them in play, but it's uncomfortable value, I would call it.
What about the Heat? We're looking at questionable on Tyler Hero. That's what I'm saying for, he's got an ankle. Jimmy Butler expected to be back. He's currently off the injury report. You're getting a discount on Butler, 8-8, not really. Bam, 7-9, we've seen him cheaper. Max Strus, man. Shout out to Max Strus. Like, Miami just finds these guys, man. Actually, I think he was formerly with the Celtics. The Celtics threw him away. But, like, he's going to get rich. Somebody's going to – I don't know if Miami's going to pay him, but somebody's going to pay him. And he's played really well. And people always ask, like, oh, is it a Max Strus night? Like, I don't know if he's going to make his threes. He's going to shoot, like, 8 to 10 threes. And if he makes them, he's great. If he doesn't, he's going to the bench.
Yep.
I don't know how to determine if they're going to go in or not. But there you go.
Yeah, I mean, he can get up around 30-35 points if the threes are going in. If they're not going in, he's going to put up like 20 DK points. And for 5,600, that's going to look real bad. I don't think I would take any shots on Max Strus on this slate. I don't have a ton of interest in Miami overall, even if Hero's out. Same. Like, if Hero's in there, I definitely don't have any interest. If Hero's out, I don't like the pricing. It's coming up on all these guys. Like, Lowry is 6,500. He's probably the guy I would look to with Hero out, but I don't love it.
Miami played a really tight rotation last time. I'm seeing like it. Strus played 40 minutes that game, the last game. That game didn't go overtime, right? I don't think it did. They had a couple games where they had a walk-off three from Hero, and another one where I believe he missed a three at the end. So both games avoided overtime, if I remember correctly. But it's just seeing a lot of minutes here on the Miami guys early. I mean, Max Strus playing 40 minutes? Like, obviously you can't predict that, but that's – he was shooting well. And I'm guessing Duncan Robinson probably lost some minutes as well. But anything else to say here in regards to Portland, Miami, as far as what we know right now?
Nope.
Okay, two teams that are on the back half of a back-to-back, Toronto and Chicago. They both played on Sunday night. 221 is the total. Toronto is a four-point dog. Pascal Siakam is going to be out for, I think, a while, right? At least a couple weeks
Like
that. Yep. Yeah. Drummond still presumed to be out. LaVine, I guess they rested LaVine on Sunday, so he plays on Monday. Was that the plan?
Yes.
Okay. DeRozan, by the way, is horrendous yesterday, especially in the
shockingly
first half.
He's usually a smash anytime LaVine is out. Like, he's a lock for 30 points almost every time LaVine is out, and he only put up 20 on Sunday night. Definitely disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing. I somehow cast them. I made one lineup on the fly, and I somehow cast with it without playing Alex Caruso as well, who was also awesome. Got to be his best game of the year. He had a double-double. We've seen Patrick Williams get a little better this year, taking little baby steps. How cheap is he? Is he still really cheap?
He is $3,900.
He could be interesting. You know, just if we're starved for value, this is one of those things where, like, maybe at 1 o'clock he's useful, and at 5 o'clock he's not useful. Start with the Chicago side. Where are you at?
Yeah. So with LaVine in there, I'm not playing DeRozan. No. Like you mentioned, both of these teams played Sunday night, played each other. So we have a rematch here. Like, there are so many teams that they're on an island game, and I'm not concerned about minutes. I don't see any reason really to target Chicago. LaVine is the guy I would play among their three stars. 7,300. Just because of the price, I think is the main reason there. I like the Patrick Williams call. He's a guy I tagged up and talked to in the expert survey on Sunday. Everybody was targeting Toronto and Washington for value. I thought Patrick Williams was going a little overlooked. Obviously that changed a little bit when LaVine got ruled out and he became more popular, but yeah, he's been playing a ton of minutes. He only got 29 Sunday, but he had been at 30 or more in each of the four games before that. So 3,900, he looks like a great value at this point. Caruso, I wouldn't chase that with LaVine back in there. It's really LaVine and Williams here, but not a game I love overall just because they are both on back-to-backs. We do have some value on the other side. Moving over to Toronto with Siakam out, I don't know if Van Vliet plays on the back-to-back with his back issues that he's been having.
Nick Nurse doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, came back and played 39 minutes Sunday night.
Can you stand? So, all right, you're playing.
Like, Van Vliet's in a great spot. I don't know that I love him playing 39 minutes the night before and has been dealing with a back issue for the last week or so.
So he's always going to play, he'll play 37?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I think you have to consider him. If he's not on the injury report, he's got to be in consideration with no Siakam. Scotty Barnes is another guy you could certainly look to. Just without Siakam, the ceiling on these guys is so much better. The Bulls have been playing a little bit faster. They're not a fantastic defensive team. So I do have interest in Toronto, despite the back-to-back. The big rotation is really interesting. I don't know if you looked into this.
Koloko?
Yeah, he's been like a fake starter, right, for most of the time that he's in there. Sunday night, 31 minutes. 34 DK points at 3,300 or whatever he was. Absolute smash. No way I can trust that again.
No.
I think
he was just playing well. Like, just looking at the box score, six blocks. He had a plus 19 Wow. Yeah, I mean, the game they won by, what, 9. Gary Trent, by the way, negative 25. 20 minutes. And Precious Achiuwa, negative 20. The guy that would normally steal his minutes.
Yes. So maybe that's what it was. So Achiuwa and Boucher are 4,200 and 4,400. I'm very interested. Like, we have seen Achiuwa play 35 minutes in these situations before without Siakam, even coming off the bench. Like, he has played off the bench and played 35 minutes. It is really hard to trust. We have no idea what value is going to look like at this point, but Achiuwa is super interesting to me. I think everybody's going to play Poco. I would just pivot that to Achiuwa in tournaments.
I mean, everyone's going to go who? You cut out for
Koloko. I think Koloko will be the play just because what he did in the last game.
That's probably, I feel like it's more likely than not an outlier, but it's also the same matchup.
Yes. You know? Yeah. So maybe I agree with you.
So I don't feel that's very uncomfortable. Even if he's starting, I'm frightened to roster him. Like, you can't just assume he's going to go out there and block 6 shots again. 31 minutes feels ambitious, but it's possible.
I think he's an easy fade if he's starting again, and we don't have a ton of value open up, and he's the chalk value piece. I think he's the easiest fade on the slate, and that's what interests in Achiuwa.
Maybe this is their speculation as well. I was going to say Otto Porter is probably not going to play in the back-to-back, and I'm seeing him. I don't know if there's a note about from the coach, but I can see him getting rested on the back-to-back. There's a chance Birch comes back, which seems meaningless, but he's just one more big that can potentially muck things up amongst those bigs, but probably doesn't get any run, like anything meaningful beyond a couple minutes or so.
If Birch were in, that would take me completely off Koloko or Achiuwa or Boucher. Like, any of, I would have no interest because it'd be so unpredictable.
Anything else here or moving on?
Moving on.
Are we like halfway through? Where are we at? Are we going too slow or too fast? I don't know. Probably not fast enough. I hope
we have done 8 games, more than halfway through. I think we're perfectly on pace, Dean.
Oh my god!
Props to us.
We're trying, man. And again, you can't dig too much in the weeds as far as like the ninth guy, because we just don't have. This is not a 3-game slate. Boston, Memphis, 230.5 is the total. This one's pretty high and it's tight. Boston is a 2.5-point favorite. In Memphis, Al Horford off the injury report, back from his, was it just rest? Did they give him a fake body part? I can't remember. Or just say old. I don't, whatever the designation was, he's expected to be available. Steven Adams is questionable with his ankle. Like, Blake Griffin drew the starter last game, which is kind of funny. Shout out Blake Griffin. I presume that will no longer be a thing. Brogdon came off the bench pretty nicely. But, you know, Horford kind of mucks it up a little bit. You could always play Tatum. I'll throw this to you. This is one of those – I don't have a lot to say, man. Like, yeah, you can play Tatum, you can play Morant, but is there anything jumping off the table that says, like, this is what our premium plays? Like, I got to, like, go out of my way to grab him? I don't think so.
Tatum's tough. Obviously, Durant in his situation, like, they're the same price range. And, like, Tatum has Brown and all the other guys to deal with, where Durant's just kind of the guy. I think he's a good tournament pivot. He can absolutely smash in any spot. So I have interest in Tatum. Not a ton of interest. Like you said, not a priority, but he's going to be in my pool for sure. Memphis has been actually pretty bad on the defensive end so far this season. I have it right here. 22nd defensive rating. So a little bit surprising that they haven't been as strong defensively. This is a pretty good spot for Tatum, I think. I never like to play Jaylen Brown. He's fine. Like, he's just kind of there. He does a ceiling every once in a while, but definitely not a priority either. No interest in anything else on Boston. Memphis side, Ja's expensive. Really tough matchup against a great Boston defense. Don't love that either, which is another hit a little bit to Tatum. Like, yeah, just nothing really for Memphis. Memphis is standing out, but I do want to have some Tatum.
Did you see that Steven Adams game the other day where he put up, he had like 45 fantasy points in the first half. He didn't close strong. It was a blowout.
Did you see his press conference after that?
I love Steven Adams. He seems like an awesome dude.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you say? He said, I'm a big bloke or something. Like, I can't remember the
word. Yeah, big bastard, I think, was the comment. Yeah.
I'm not letting those little guys get the boards. Yeah. He seems like a blast. He seems like a good dude. Yeah. What a line. 13, 19, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And like almost all that was in the first half. That was in 22 minutes. Against Charlotte, like as if we didn't know Charlotte was a good matchup for, well, in general, but especially against, you know, for bigs, right? If he doesn't go, who is there anybody that we get excited about? Like Clark?
Brandon Clark, yeah.
Does he, would he jump in the starting lineup? Would he play enough minutes?
Him or Tillman maybe enters the conversation a little bit. It's tough.
Like, 3K. I feel like he hasn't played a heck of a lot this year. He has not.
No. Aldama's passed him. Conchar has played over him. He really hasn't played much, but he's been a decent per minute guy, I think, hasn't he? Up
historically,
to this point. Yeah.
Pretty good per minute guy.
I think if Adams were to miss it, there would be some interest here in Clark for sure.
Clark at 4-2.
Yeah.
Trying to see if there's anything else of note here, or shall we just look, we can just move on. That's just kind of a wait and see. By the way, what if Adams goes? Do we like Adams at 5-5? Like, he's somebody I almost never play. Like, he's always just sort of like fine, but he never really stands out, you know? But I guess he has the ceiling if he's in the right, you catch him on the right night. Not that you can assume that last output, obviously, but good to see.
Yeah. I mean, like, the Charlotte smash just makes sense, right? They're really bad against bigs. Boston out. Like, Boston's great defensively. Pretty good on the glass. Like, Horford isn't a fantastic defender or anything by any means, nor is he a fantastic rebounder. So 55. You talked me into it a little bit. I kind of like Adams. I don't know that I would like take a massively overweight stance, but certainly wouldn't kick him out of a lineup.
Here's why you won't like Adams as much. New York and Minnesota, 229.5 is the total. Yeah. New York is a 5-point dog. Minnesota without Rudy Gobert, but the big one here is Mitch Robb not available for the Knicks. And you know, DK has been proactive with a lot of these prices, but Hartenstein, a 5-2, you know, that just seems a little, they bumped him up, but that's still, that feels a little bit too cheap. We saw 38 minutes out of him last game against Boston. And that was almost, I don't want to say like a floor game, 38 minutes. He's a good fantasy point minute player. 5-2 seems too cheap, and that's probably one of the best values that I'm seeing so far. What do you say?
Yep, I completely agree with you. I think as we sit here recording this tonight, Hartenstein is the best value on the slate. Even if he doesn't get 38 minutes, I agree with you. He underperformed expectation for those, like, and he scored 10 points and grabbed 14 rebounds, but 38 minutes, like, he's a elite point per minute guy. Better than that, I'm almost positive. So for him to only put up 32 DK points in 38 minutes is a disappointment. He can certainly smash that. Even if he only gets 30 minutes, I am highly interested at 5,200, best value on the slate as we're recording this. And Gobert out on the other side too. So you think Minnesota and tough matchup.
I feel like that would solidify his minutes, but like the matchup wouldn't be as good, if that makes sense.
They still have Kat and New York doesn't have anyone else. Like, are they going to run Randall at the five? Or are they going to run Toppin at the five?
Toppin, yeah. They don't really have a lot of size.
No. Hartenstein is locked in for 30 minutes. I'm pretty sure of that.
I'm pretty sure Toppin closed the five the other day. That's why I was asking. But they may have been playing a smaller team a couple games ago. I feel like that happened. Maybe I'm making that up. You know, but I feel like that did happen, but it was,
he did kind of an outlier. It was Boston and he did get some run at the five, still only played 15 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know if you have the court IQ pulled up on the fly by chance, but just, I don't know if it's worth digging into, like, no matter what, like Hartenstein right now is just an awesome play. Best play in the slate. I haven't seen the rest of the plays, but I think it's the best play in the slate. Other guys on New York, what about Minnesota? I don't know about yourself, but I fell for the, I don't want to say trap, because Minnesota's got a lot of like wing guys and they have a lot of versatility. And I thought we'd see a kind of a Naz Reid game with the absence of Rudy Gobert. And I wasn't even assuming he would start, but I thought there was a chance he would start. Like we've seen him in the past, whenever the center's out, and that center's this year's Gobert and it's been Kat at the four. With Gobert out, is and the who are we excited about? Because we saw slow-mo. Kyle Anderson was the guy that really rose out of that group. Is that repeatable?
I think the minutes are repeatable. I don't know if the fantasy production is repeatable. He shot 85% from the floor. Like, that's probably not happening. I think he could play 30 minutes again, but I wouldn't expect 35 DK points out of him. Yeah, you have to have some interest here in Minnesota with Gobert out. Towns is the guy. Again, he's in that same. We just talked about Tatum. Durant's coming up. It's a loaded range. We'll see how much value opens up, but Towns is in a great spot here, I think. Like, no Gobert. You have Robinson out on the other side. I think Towns is a smash. Like, he's the guy I want here for Minnesota. Edwards always has a ceiling. You can play him at any time. Russell's never a comfortable roster, but the price is down. He has a 50-point ceiling as well. I think he's in play.
By the way, just a note for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought this was interesting. The two teams this year, NBA team opponent three-pointers made per game. Number one team as far as yielding the most three-pointers made this season, New York. Number two, Minnesota. Three-pointers. Mm. Three-pointers this game.
RJ Barrett season.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to ask him to take a shot twice for sure. Also, I thought it was interesting, and I don't like to freak out over just 10-game sample, but New York has Brunson running the point this year. Last year, they were the second slowest team in all basketball when it comes to pace, right? They're not flying this year, but they're 15th. They're middle of the pack. Just they're faster than they were last year. It's hard not to be. But with Brunson at the helm, they picked up the pace, which makes it more interesting to pick on and the roster, some of their guys.
As we talk through this one, this is kind of becoming one of my favorite games on the slate. Like, Hartenstein I knew was a great value just from an initial look before the show. Talking through this, I really like this game. No Gobert, so I think that gives Towns a massive ceiling. You've got Robinson out, Hartenstein in, who's a massive per-minute producer. You just talked about the three upside for guys like Barrett and Brunson. I like this a lot. This might be my favorite game stack of the slate.
I don't know if you said, I threw it out there, but Naz Reid's 3-7. Like, is there a path to something, or is that, am I just dreaming? And when he gets out there, he just, like, fouls everybody anyway. Dude just loves bowling people over. Actually, he was like holding his shoulder last game too. So I don't know if he's still injured. I don't see anything about that. But he was legit like in pain as that game ended last time out.
Yeah, I don't trust him to get any minutes. Finch even said before the game that Reed or Prince would start, I believe it was. And then Kyle Anderson. Like, I was on projections that night. And we had Anderson in projected all day. And then Finch came out with that quote like an hour and a half before game time. So we moved, I think it was Prince into the starting lineup. And then the lineup comes out and Anderson is in there. Like, I hate
how annoying is that for you, Whip?
Brutal. Like, it's tough to trust minutes for Naz Reid. Obviously he's a great producer when he's out there, but
did he change his mind, or is he like, is like a game theory? Is he just like swerving the other coach? Like, why is he doing that? what happened there?
I don't know.
What's the competitive advantage? I know OKC's coach talked about that, which is hilarious. Like, I don't want to reveal my starters for a competitive advantage. Like, seriously, you have to.
Like, it's like the other coach can't react. Like obviously, you see Kyle Anderson walk out onto the floor with the starting five. If it was that big of a deal, wouldn't they just make a substitution in the first couple minutes of the game?
It's like, oh my God, they're starting Kyle Anderson. Everybody gets to back to the drawing board. Drop your lunch. We got to figure this out.
Right.
Like, that's not happening. I've never been in an NBA locker room. I refuse to believe that that's like, you know, like an alarm goes off or something. All right, let's move on. Denver, San Antonio, 232 is the total here. Denver is a 7-point favorite versus the Spurs. Man, speaking of playing games, Popovich, he's got all the names like in a hat, just screwing around. I don't know. He's not signed for next year. I don't know how much he cares. Like, he cares, obviously, but I don't know if he cares about winning at this point. Zach Collins is questionable. Romeo Langford's questionable. Kind of sort of some fringe pieces. I'm burying the league. Nikola Jokic has been, it sounds silly, but kind of disappointing, right?
Yeah.
By his absurd standard. And now they're healthy this year. They added a little bit more depth. Bones has taken a step forward. Of course, Jamal Murray being back. Michael Porter Jr. healthy this season. Are we overpaying for Jokic? Are we still paying for the Jokic of last year? Is it going to correct itself? Is it somewhere in the middle? He's 11-6.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think he's overpriced. It's really weird to say. This is a phenomenal matchup against the Spurs. Like, they're going to be a team we target all season long. They play really fast. They don't play any defense. This is an absolute smash spot for Denver, and I have almost no in Jokic. Like, 11-6, you need 60-plus points, fantasy points out of him, and he just isn't doing that with regularity. He has, what, 2 out of 10 this year? He's been over 60? He does not have the same ceiling. Like, Michael Porter Jr. scoring a bunch. Murray's getting more usage. Bones took a step forward. Aaron Gordon has randomly shown a ceiling at times this year. He's just not the primary scorer, it doesn't feel like, in this offense anymore. He's just another scorer on the offense. I mean, he's still the leading scorer, don't get me wrong, but he's not just the guy like we're traditionally used to seeing with Jokic. So, fantastic matchup, but I honestly have more interest in the cheaper pieces here on Denver. Like, somebody's smashing from Denver here. I don't feel the need to pay 11-6 for Jokic to try to find him to be the one that smashes. I like Porter at 6,400. It's a bit uncomfortable of a price, but if he gets hot shooting, he can pay that off, especially in this. Aaron Gordon, not a guy we love to play generally, but this, like, he's hit 30 plus on multiple occasions. He's even going to be in there against OKC. This is an OKC level matchup. Like, Aaron Gordon could go for 40 DK points here. I have a ton of interest in Denver. Fantastic matchup, but just not Jokic.
Just to clean up the Jokic thing, it sounds completely absurd. Again, the guy's got 23.7% usage, but he's not shooting the ball. He's distributing it or getting rebounds. 1.54 fantasy points per minute this season. I pulled up the court IQ on the fly. I was just curious. Again, 1.54 on DK, which is really, really good. That's awesome. Gonna run it for last season, and it takes me a second to pull that up, but 1.78. Like, that's it's a distinct difference. that's just otherworldly. This is a rematch. These teams played each other on, looks like, the 5th. It was a blowout.
Yeah, a couple days ago. Yep.
Yeah, Jamal Murray is on his way to getting his minutes up there. Like, last time it was 23 minutes, but again, it was a blowout. Before that, 32. Before that, 31. So his minutes are almost there. And he's 5'9 on FanDuel and 6'2 on DK. So I think he's really he's a strong play because his minutes were severely cut, and he crushed in the first half. It's just, not his fault. They played too good and the Spurs couldn't keep up. But again, for me, one of the better value plays in the slate, 5'9 on FanDuel looks really good. 6'2 on DK looks good as well. You like Murray?
Yeah, I do like that call. 32 and 33 minutes, the two games before that, that's what we were waiting for. Like, he seemed to have about a 30-minute cap before that. If he can get into that 32-minute range, you catch him before he has the explosion game at this price, because at 32 minutes, he can absolutely smash that price, especially in this matchup.
You have any Spurs takes?
They play fast. They're concentrated. The problem that I have with them right now is this Devin Vassell situation. He's been playing off the bench and playing 25 minutes. That just kind of ruins everything. I want to play basketball if he. What's that?
What is that? Like, what's the point? Is that that's what I think some Pop sort of doesn't care.
Yeah, like it's like an injury management situation thing. I think. Yeah. So if Vassell's in the starting lineup, like, give me some Vassell. But I'm not sure. Like, if he's playing off the bench again, I have to think he's still capped at 25 minutes, and that's a problem. Like, he's still smash, or not quite smash, but he still played really, really well in the last two games. I want 30 minutes out of him though, if I'm paying 6,600, especially against Denver, who's pretty decent. But I think Vassell in the starting lineup would give me a lot more interest in this game. Keldon is great at 7,200 as well. I think you could play him. He's going to see massive usage all year long. So Vassell and Keldon are the ones I'm really interested in, but I only want Vassell if he's starting, because otherwise I'm concerned about the minutes.
He played 25 minutes coming off the bench, and that game blew out, and he did not see, let's see, 8 minutes left in the fourth. He was gone. So there's some room to add on to that 25 minutes, I think. But, you know, if I'm saying if he comes off the bench, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't come back for a final rotation, because what's the point? The game's out of hand. And
all right, now I got to pull that up and see if he closed the game before that. That's interesting. So if the game before that, he played 25 minutes also. If he did have a fourth quarter rotation to close the game, then you're on to something there.
Yeah, well, maybe they're ramping him up. I don't know. I haven't seen that, but that's – if you're saying it's an injury thing, that's the reason why he's coming off the bench. This is not where the things are supposed to be doing on a 15.
you're right. Figuring out ways to play Devin Vassell on a 15-game slate.
So he did not come back after 8 minutes and change in the fourth quarter, and it was a close game, 113-106. Then they close at Richardson, Collins, Keldon, McDermott, and Trey Jones. So, like, maybe that was just they wanted to cap him at 25.
Yeah, that's what my original thought was going into this, is that he just had a hard cap at 25, and that's why he didn't come back. So when you said that about the blowout, that's what made me back. But, yeah, I'm looking at the same thing. Like, if he's starting, if he's starting, you can take the minutes cap off, I think. But if Branham has been the guy who started over him, if Branham is back in there, like, he's a fake starter, Vassell's going to be the guy that plays 25 to 28 minutes. But I don't think 30's in the range if he's not starting.
Is there any chance Branham pulls a Coloco on us?
No.
I don't think so either. Brooklyn at Dallas, 214.5 is a total. Not a very big total, obviously. Dallas, we know they play slow. I think they're the slowest team in basketball. Brooklyn, I mean, like, I don't know what's the point, because obviously Kyrie's not there, so their pace numbers might be a little bit murky. I've not looked at them of late. Edmund Sumner is their point guard. Always not really. He's their point guard, but everything's going through Durant, obviously. This game's about Durant and Luka. I don't know if you – I mean, is there much else to say in this game? I like Claxton. I imagine they start pricing him up. But, yeah, is Durant the first stud that we're looking at, all things considered? Bad matchup. And he's also priced up now to where, you know, 11-1. He was like 10K before. But, yeah, all the usage in the world, obviously. Start with Durant.
Yeah. Simmons does matter a little bit, because that helps Durant's assist rate considerably. But yeah, Durant is the first stud in for me. Don't care about the matchup.
Questionable right now, Simmons.
Yeah, Simmons questionable. If Durant's the only guy, like, he just does everything. Usage is up, rebounds are up, assists are up. So 11-1 is too cheap. He should be over 12K. He probably about where Giannis is really what his price should be with the role that he has without Kyrie and without Simmons. So don't care about matchup. Durant's too cheap. Agree with your Claxton call. Like, we've seen really good things, in my opinion. Only played 25 minutes against Charlotte. I don't know if that was foul-related. I know he had four for the game, but I'm wondering if he picked up three quick ones in the first half. I don't have the game flow pulled up.
No, he crushed in the first half, actually.
Okay.
I don't think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure he was just awesome the first half of that game. But, like, if you, I don't know if you ever watched that game. You probably weren't. Maybe you were. But that was the Charlotte game where I was watching the game and I'm like, wondering what my DK points. And the announcers are like, yeah, in case you're wondering, the stats department's down in the building. Like, we got nothing. All we have is a score. We can't tell you anything else. And I'm like, this is not going to end well. Did you play Friday night? Because that's the Brooklyn Indiana Pacers stats were coming in like at the end while the other, like, basically, like, that was like the last thing in, essentially. Like, and it wasn't an early, it was an early
yes. game. So I did play, but I also had to build projections for Saturday on Friday night. So I wasn't paying that close of attention. Yes, I know the situation you were talking about.
People were freaking out on the Twitter for sure. I was just trying to see any sort of fringe player. I think Cam Thomas
was pretty good. You have to. Like, I know projecting this was a nightmare. Because he randomly popped up for 32 minutes on Friday night or whatever that was. And it's like, how do you project him for that again? But then we saw 29 minutes again. If Cameron Thomas is going to be the guy that plays Simmons is out, I have a ton of interest in that at 4,400.
And then there's Seth Curry. And then there's other guys too. It's just,
Curry's going to be limited though. Harris and Harris played 31, I know. So maybe his restrictions are coming off a little bit. But Curry is a guy that, like, they're just going to limit at this moment. They're preparing for the end of the season. They want to make sure all these guys get through. 20 minutes, I think, is the cap on Curry. So I don't really have a ton of interest there. Give me the guy that can play 30 minutes. And that's proven to be Cam Thomas. People have wanted it to be Sumner for the last two games, but he's getting the start and then just not seeing the run. Like, Cam Thomas has played over in both of the last games.
Cam Thomas went on an Instagram rant where he was talking about demanding minutes. Like, he was very upset. And like, you remember last year, he had his moments last year for sure. Yeah. I'm sure you played him. That was when, like, there was nobody around, right? Like, all the big three, I think, were gone.
Right.
Royce O'Neal's had his moments this year. It was like traditionally just your very classic 3-and-D, right?
Yep.
Like, no high ceiling, but he's had a few good, I don't want to say ceiling games, but by head standard. I don't know. He's there. I just want to acknowledge his presence, I suppose.
Yes. And it's all assuming Simmons is. If Simmons is in there, I don't have hardly any interest in anyone outside of Durant. But if Simmons is out, all these guys we're talking about now are relevant. Claxton, O'Neal, Cam Thomas would be my top three.
Dallas, it's really hard for me to play anybody besides Luka. Wood got a price discount, which is good to see because he shot up way too high, way too fast. Yep. On a couple, I think, of super efficient games. And it's a good matchup, theoretically. He's 6'4", but it's mostly Luka, and that's it, right? I guess Dinwiddie somewhat, but it's Luka.
Yes, it's Luka. I agree that Wood and Dinwiddie are interesting because of the matchup. Wood just got another guy that's not seeing the minutes, a massive per-minute producer, though. So that price coming down, I agree, is very intriguing. I think – if it wasn't a 15-game slate, I know I would take some shots on him. We'll see how much of him I need, but I'm interested in that 6,400, even if he only gets like 24 minutes.
Is it a game-by-game thing, or is he I'm trying to remember. Is he closing or not closing? I think he's not closing, right?
I'm not sure about that, honestly.
Okay. I feel like most games he has not been closing. My understanding is he's not a great defender. I think that's
the case. So Dinwiddie, DFS, Luka, Reggie, and Powell closed last game. You're correct. He has not been closing.
Yeah. I mean, he's not starting and he's not closing. Like, you know, just that from a starting point, like, do you want to play this DFS player? He doesn't start and he doesn't close.
Good point.
Like, where is the upside? I mean, yeah, again, he can score like 15 points in 5 minutes. Like, he can do that, but that's what you need. Yep. Did you want to say, like, Luka's awesome? He's great. Luka versus Giannis, considering the matchups. I think it's Luka.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so good this year. I was trying to think about positionally if point guard versus forward matters. I don't think it, like, there's so many games on the slate. You can find somebody pretty much at any position, any tier, I think. I just the matchup for Luka, I feel better about. So it would be Luka, and he's getting the same type of just on usage that Giannis has been, even without Middleton.
Sacramento Golden State 231.5 is a total. Golden State 8-point favorite, and again, a miracle. All these guys are cured. Steph Curry, he had an elbow, he's gonna be fine. Wiggins had a foot, he's fine. And all the Warriors are back. Dante DiVincenzo's not gonna be available, but you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. I did see a note that they said that Kuminga is gonna be at least in the starting rotation, gonna be in the rotation going forward, which I thought was interesting, I guess, from a minutes projection, probably for your world for projecting minutes. But yeah, when everybody's playing, who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's cheap enough, but like, no, we certainly don't care on a 15 game slate.
Yeah. do you like any Warriors when they're all healthy and like the matchup's good here against the Kings, right? But Clay is expected back. They said not playing on back to backs possibly all season long. I'm sure you saw that floated out there.
Yep.
This is not the front end or the back end of a back to back. Just, I guess. Note that going forward, I suppose. But I don't know.
Three-point data pulled up? Yeah. What's Sacramento against three-pointers look like?
Sacramento, as far as yielding threes this year, they've been the sixth best, surprisingly. Mm. Just 11 per game. Now, that's actual made, if you want, like, the number of attempts, if that does anything for you. Attempted threes per game, if they're forcing them, Sacramento is yielding the least amount of threes all season long. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
And disappointing to Domantas Sabonis, the great rim protector.
Yeah.
So I guess why he's always getting foul trouble, right?
That makes sense, I suppose. Yeah. I kind of do have it. I know I have interest in this game environment. Golden State plays really fast, and they've been bad on defense. So I want to play some Sacramento, which means I want to run
it. But like going, I mean, you know, start of the season, who cares? Defending champs, you know, whatever. It's where you finish. Doesn't really matter the regular season, but they haven't looked great, like you said. Are they going to be fine? Like Draymond's a little bit older. Clay, not the same guy.
They're going to be fine. Yeah, they need to figure out the rotation and the supplementary pieces. Obviously, Steph will be fine. I think Draymond's defense will pick up. Kuminga or Moody or somebody like that, Wiseman would be a huge one for them. But yeah, if they get young guys up and fill up some minutes, I think that they'll be completely fine. Yes.
Your favorite Warrior? Like, again, I like the environment, like you say, but I have a hard time playing Curry when he's like the same price as like all the other studs. And agreed. His route, he's got to put 40 points in the bucket. Like he can do that, but
Yeah, that's why I asked about the threes is because Clay is the guy I was looking at. That the three-point data kind of takes me off of that. And maybe Wiggins is the guy. A little bit more expensive, but dude's been doing the peripheral stuff all season long.
What a career arc for him.
What's that?
What a career arc for Wiggins. Like just
yeah, seriously.
Kind of sort of a bust. Not really fair, but kind of a bust. And like now he's like one of the most underrated players in the league and, you know, was the second best player on the defending championship team. It's just interesting how he's changed himself over the years, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Clay's fine. Wiggins is in the conversation. Draymond is cheap enough. You can play some of him. Good matchup against the Kings. I like the game environment overall. I'm with you. Steph is just kind of overpriced. He can certainly get there. I'll have a little bit, but I'll probably have more Wiggins and more Clay also.
What about like scores and odds or like some gambling stuff? You're out there in Arizona, you're writing stuff up. Betting unders on threes for Golden State, that's a fun – it's always a fun
sweat. You have me intrigued, sir. Yes, I like that.
Just throwing it out there, yeah. Sacramento?
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, right?
They're playing the price where they should be.
Yeah. Herter has been really good. He's 5,600.
Yeah.
Took a step back last game, but was running off. He's playing a ton of minutes, was shooting the ball really well. I like this game environment. I think Golden State is still working through some things. People have been scoring a ton on them. They play fast. Like the pace of this game is what I'm so interested in. It's not that comfortable. Like Herter's not a guy you think, yeah, I got to play some of him, but I'm interested here. Sabonis is good. Fox is good. They're both priced about where they should be. I think the value on Herter is interesting. I don't know. I'm going to have exposure to this game.
It's early. Sacramento, the 10th fastest pace. Golden State, the 3rd fastest pace. Defensive rating, the Sacramento, the 6th or 7th, depending on my math there, worst defense. And Golden State makes it easier. The 3rd worst defense so far in the league when it comes to defensive rating, just ahead of Detroit and San Antonio.
Did we have a total?
Worst of Houston. What's that?
Did we have a total out for this game already?
I look at the team totals on the lineups page at 231.5. I presume that's basically right there. I've not gone to the scores and odds, but I would say it's low 230s.
231.5 is what I'm seeing at multiple multiple books. Yeah, that's juicy. I like this game environment a lot.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We got two more. We should have took an intermission before.
Yeah.
If you're still with us, we appreciate it. Thank you for, you know, doing our best on a Sunday night now for me. It's 1:30 in the morning, Sunday night. You're out there in Arizona. And Arizona does not partake in daylight savings. Is that correct?
You are correct. So, like, it's been a 3-hour time difference to Eastern time for me up until this point, and now it's only a 2-hour difference. So, I basically run on Eastern time, but I live in Western time. It's really weird.
Yeah. Do you like Pacific time? Do you have a read yet if you like it or not, or is it too early to tell? Just happened.
I mean, like with what we do, like sleep is relative, right? Like I just, I work when I need to and I sleep when I can. Like it doesn't matter. Like my entire day revolves around the sports world anyway, so it doesn't make a difference what time zone I'm in to me.
Yeah. All right. Lakers, Jazz, 229.5 is the total. We saw Jared Vanderbilt get ruled out. Both these teams are playing the back half of a back-to-back. They did not play. No. So Utah was in. Okay, they were in L.A., but now they're not in L.A. They're home. They're home to L.A. Okay, that's what's really confusing. I'm trying to figure out. Like, did they just stay in L.A.? No. They're traveling to Utah, and the Lakers are going to Utah as well. Did Conley play the first game? Yes. Okay. So I'm seeing speculation that he may rest. We'll see. Stay tuned on that. But as the show progressed, we did get news on the Clippers. John Wall is resting on the back half. I think somebody else. We'll talk about it when we get there. I don't know why I'm throwing that there. But Lakers, Jazz, what do you got?
Give me the injuries. What did you just say about Utah? Vanderbilt is out again. Conley is possibly resting.
Vanderbilt was late scratch tonight, so we'll see tomorrow. We don't know. Like, that just happened tonight, so yep. I've not seen him ruled out for tomorrow just yet. So he's questionable. Beverly didn't play on Sunday because of an illness. Maybe he plays on Monday. Maybe he doesn't. And Connolly, there's at least speculation that he's going to rest on the back half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this game, really. Like,
Russell Westbrook. Markkanen's been awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say Markkanen, and we're going to talk about Russell Westbrook, unfortunately, too. But, like, this Jazz team, what was the final? They did end up beating the Clippers again.
They won again.
They just won't keep stop winning. Rolling.
Danny Ainge is so miserable with everybody's wins.
Like, what do you do? Do you pivot your entire strategy and just try to build on this now? Or, like, do you trade some more pieces
piece? But, like, Beasley jumped in the starting rotation for what it's worth. He started in the place of Vanderbilt. Sexton came off the bench, though, and played really well. Looks like Clarkson did not close 30 minutes. Sexton played 27 minutes on the bench, possibly one of his better shooting games the entire season, 6 of 13, and a bunch of free throws as well. But, like, come on. Like, there's nobody to build around on this Utah team. Like,
I mean, Markkanen's young. Sexton's young. Like, I wouldn't say nobody. They're not stars by any means, but they're, like, pieces. But yeah, no, I agree. They're three pieces away.
Trade them away. They're playing.
Yeah, so that would be my answer. Is you have to start trading guys, or you have no chance at the first pick. Like you're too good. You were not good enough at tanking.
Yeah, they've definitely failed. And like it's like I always say, like, you know, the players aren't actively tanking. The ones that are out, they're trying the best they possibly can try. Like they're trying to
earn their next contract.
yeah, like, you know, but management's job to put him in position to lose. I always think of the like Major League, the movie Major League with the owner. Yeah. You know, trying to tank it on purpose. I think in Utah they have a picture of Danny Ainge, and every win they peel off another piece of him. Like, that's just all the only thing left to do is win the whole thing. And like, good for Utah. Like, this is a cute story, but like, it doesn't end well. It really doesn't. Short term gains, but long term, this is not good for you. You want to lose games. All right.
Yeah, like you said, the players are going to try as long as they're out there, and Markkanen's been trying. So play some Markkanen. This is a tough matchup. The Lakers have been outstanding on the defensive end. Currently fifth in the NBA in defensive rating.
Oh, Markkanen. Yeah, fifth. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yep. Just Markkanen has been doing everything, though. Massive upside here. 7,500, too cheap. Just saw 55 DK points the other night. I don't know exactly what he did Sunday night. It's like 18, 9, and 3. I mean, 7,500, I'll take that, even in a tough matchup. Play some Markkanen. I don't have a ton of interest outside of him. Olenek maybe is fine. Like, he's been inconsistent but solid at times. Conley, if he plays, has been decent. Like, I don't love this game. We'll see what if Conley were to sit, I think Sexton is a smash. You could play some Clarkson as well. He's got a history of injuries.
Like, I wonder how much they push him.
Yeah. You know? I think we were doing Grinders Live, the first back-to-back that Utah played this year, and we were both like, there's no way Conley's playing. And then he played.
Uh-huh. You know, because we had the same conversation of, like, why they don't want him. Like, I don't know if they can trade him. Theoretically, they would love to trade him, right? He's got a big contract. I think it's the last year of it.
Yep.
But like, you know, it was the back half of a back-to-back at maybe like 3-4 or something, and it's just weird. The whole thing is just weird. I don't get it. So there's some weird extremes, and, you know, fun with like small samples early start of the year. The Lakers, fastest pace in basketball, right? They've moved down to the fifth best defensive team, but they were once like one of the best defensive teams. But offensively, despite the best efforts of Russ Westbrook, still the worst offensive rating. 1-2 as far as the worst, the two teams that reside in LA. We'll talk about the Clippers in a second. Just amazing. Just like, if somebody had told you this like 3 years ago, like how bad the Clippers and the Lakers would be offensively. I know there's obviously some injuries going on and things like that. But yeah, just I thought it was interesting. The Lakers, worst offensive team, really good defense, really fast pace. You said you want to talk about Russ. What do you got?
We have to talk about Russ, right? He's only 6,500, mm-hmm. and the dude has just taken off since coming off the bench. Over 40 DK points the last two games. He's still playing 30 minutes off the bench. It's a different guy. I mean, I think you have to take notice of what we've seen here recently. He's still underpriced for this role. Matchup against Utah, like, Utah's been good defensively, and I think that's kind of real. Like, just looking at the guys on their roster, like, they're not great against bigs, but I think Conley's a good defender. Clarkson, not great, but fine. Beasley's good. THT can defend a little bit. So I think there's some good defensive pieces on Utah. It's not the greatest matchup, but Westbrook is just underpriced for the usage he gets off the bench. And he's still playing 30 minutes. So 6,500 for Russell Westbrook, way too cheap. And that's wild to say. If you would have told me that a week ago, I would have called you crazy.
It's so uncomfortable. But he's been really good. 7 turnovers. I'm looking at the box score from Sunday night. 19 points, 10 assists, 3 boards, a couple steals. Dude's
putting points in the set out. Clean rate off. That's amazing.
3-for-5 from 3. Look at that. Like, how is it easier to make a 3 when you're coming off the bench? Like, that's just so – I don't know. Also, no Papev, you know, so I think get one more guard to get out of the way. We'll see if he's available on Monday, but he did not play on Sunday with, I believe it was an illness. So hard to project on that. Anything else to say
here? Papev already rolled out Monday, according to this.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right. So there you go. Reggie Jackson, uncertain for Monday. He's got a knee. I've watched him play too much this year. He's been terrible. I can't like dig into the numbers, and like if I'm like just the guy on the couch and the eye test, he's looked really bad. And John Wall is also ruled out for the Clippers, of course, for the foreseeable future. Kawhi, we don't know when he's going to come back, if he's going to come back, but they're at home versus the Cavs. By the way, how are the Cavs not favored in this game? they're the better team. That's wild.
Yeah, bet that right now.
They're just better, right? Like, what am I missing? Are they at 1 point dogs here or half a point? That's what I'm seeing, at least according to our lineups page. What do you have on scores and odds? I know they're the road team, but.
So I don't know that scores and odds puts up lines the night before, but I'm on Vegas Insider and I'm seeing Cavs plus one. That's wild.
I mean, it's a back-to-back for Cleveland. It's also a back-to-back for the Clippers. Cleveland saw Mitchell and Garland come back. Like they're good. I don't. The Clippers are bad. Like,
yeah. I just refreshed. They've moved to minus one now. I still like that. Like, that. Yeah, I agree. The Cavs are just a much, much better team, unless they're going to rest Mitchell or something.
Yeah, I mean,
and the books are often privy to information that we're not.
But they wouldn't move the line.
Or Garland, I guess, is the one that's been banged up and possibly could rest here.
I guess so. Yeah. His was an eye, though. Like, that was not like a conditioning thing. Right. I think it was an eye, right? And there was something else after that, maybe. You might have had
I'm seeing knee.
Okay, so he was out for a couple games at least with an eye, and then he came back, and then he hurt his knee in that game. That's what happened, I believe.
Like the Trae Young thing.
Yeah.
Trae Young had an eye and then had a shin.
The thing with the eye is it moves somewhere else the next game, in a small sample at least. From a gambling perspective, we like Cleveland. Like, we both like that right out the gate. But DFS-wise, you know, what excites us? Mobley at 6'3". Kevin Love was incredible the other day without, gets 25 minutes off the bench. It was just spectacular.
Whoever was on the show with you that I
Andre was talking about him.
Andre was hammering Kevin Love, and he nailed that one, man.
Yeah. I was like, well, if we can get 25 minutes, and it was like a huge slate, but like, there's some ifs there. And, dude, he just annihilated. I did not play Love. I did play a lot of Mobley and Allen that game. And a lot of people didn't pair them together, which I thought was fine. You know. But anyway, we care about this game. And this is the last game. Nobody's still left listening. We should give something away. Like,
we've almost made it.
I almost fell asleep at least twice so far. Start with the Cavs, work our way over the Clippers. You know, if Reggie Jackson and John Wall don't play, like, Wall looks like he's officially out. Like, are we? It's hard.
Trey Mann, right?
Terrence Mann.
Yeah, Terrence Mann, not Trey. Yeah,
he's 3-3. Terrence Mann. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So when we first looked at the slate, this game was still going on, obviously, and Wall had not been ruled out. I think Terrence Mann is the best value play on the slate.
He jumped in the starting lineup. I think he's been playing in the starting lineup to some degree. He's been in and out. Okay, he played 3 minutes in the fourth. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been a wild ride for Mr. Mann here.
The Clippers have, like, throw away Kawhi and Paul George. They have a bunch of guys that could be, like, the sixth or seventh best player on a decent team. But nobody at, like, 3, 4, 5. Does that make sense? Zubac's fine, but, you know. That's, like, a reason, like, you know, Batum.
That's
like
a reasonable take, yeah. Absolutely.
The eighth guy off a bench, and Covington's, like, the seventh or eighth guy. You know.
Yep.
It's a weird collection of players, but. And that's probably why they never really seem to settle on a rotation, because it's kind of a hot hand situation.
Yeah. Kennard missed Sunday as well.
Looks like it. What's his deal? He had a chest. I don't know when it'll be available, but if they're without Kennard, obviously Kawhi.
Like, man has to play minutes, right?
I think man's got to play minutes.
And if man has to play minutes, and he's 3,300. Mm-hmm. I want to play him.
Yeah. Who would steal them? I'm just trying to think. Like
Coffey could enter the conversation, I suppose.
Yeah, but he's going to take Wall's minutes also. I guess if Jackson plays, but by Reggie Jackson, 19 minutes tonight, 1-for-3. He's just like, fell off a table, this guy. Not that he was – I wish that he was kind of an overachiever anyway.
Yeah, but anytime like PG or Kawhi were out, like he was a smash. Like he would always produce in minutes when he would pick up the usage, and he just has not done that so far this season.
He's not right, I don't think. And maybe he's just dealing with an injury. But yeah, Terrence, man, this is the tricky thing because it's this is the latest game. This one that takes place, I think, at 12:30. It's like what was it? Like that college like basketball, like Midnight Madness or something. Is that when this game is scheduled? I don't know. But it's the last game in the increments of 15 minutes. I guess it's 10:30, right? Yes. All right, 10:30. You gotta wait this one out. And we'll probably get some clarity throughout the day, but maybe not, because back-to-back, you don't get access to the coaches you typically get. But Terrence,
we didn't mention Norman Powell. He's like, from a usage standpoint, he's got to enter the conversation, but we've done that a couple times already this year. And it just,
when has that ever failed?
Exactly. He's 4,700. Like, come on, man. Who's going to put points up besides PG if Reggie and Wall are out?
Did we mention PG?
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a great matchup, and he's not cheap. Yeah. But, like, there's no one else. Like, he should see 30%+ usage easily.
Cleveland plays slow. They're the fourth slowest team in basketball, and they're the second best defensive team. So it's not a good matchup. Like, Milwaukee, like, when you pick on Milwaukee, like, obviously, you don't want to pick on them, but their defense is great, but at least their pace is typically pretty good. Like last year was faster, I think it is this year, but Cleveland's good defense and they're slow. Like that's a combination that's not getting you excited. But if, you know, we're going to get like 29 minutes at a man, which may be conservative, who knows? We'll see. Yep. At 3.3K, whatever. I'll take my chances. That's kind of where I'm at.
Agree.
Cavs, anything as far as the Cavs that's worth saying? I know we kind of mentioned them in passing, but
Mobley's good at 63, I think. Love is cheap. He can produce in a hurry in short minutes. Just really tough to trust him playing any minutes. I don't know. Like, I'm not touching the guards. Like, Garland is cheap, but with Mitchell there, it's not the same role. So,
yeah,
it's tough.
And I have a hard time.
Mobley at 63 would be the guy I play from the Cavs.
That's my thought too. But if you're going to force me to play somebody, it's probably Mobley. Garland at 6'9".
Interesting.
He's been like, he's had one really, really good game, one pretty good game, and the other one he got injured in. And I think he's been injured in two of the three, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
The minutes have been awesome this year. I just noticed, by the way, the sponsor of this podcast is named Sleeper, which I found interesting. the Morning Grandpa podcast. Anybody still with us? It's thoroughly appreciated. Sleeper, check out the promo code over there is Grinders. Sleeper Fantasy, I should say. It's not just called Sleeper.
Sleeper is what you're dreaming you were doing right now.
It's been a long. I was up really, really early today grinding
for football. Yeah,
probably
it's been a long day.
World's smallest violin. Like I could be digging ditches. Life could be a lot worse, obviously. But right. Use the promo code Grinders, 100% deposit match, up to $100 for Sleeper Fantasy. Final words, Keith, as far as this 15 gamer, any the best advice you can give before 90% of what we said might be useless.
This one's a doozy. Like it's going to be a wild slate because of the way it's set up with the incremental game start times. I have no idea who's going to pop up on injury reports. It's a weird situation where it's an island game for like 70% of the teams. So hopefully we don't have too much injury news we're worried about. But yeah, this is a wild slate. Tons of games, tons of options. I don't know. We'll just have to kind of see how the news shakes out. But right now, I think certainly Hartenstein. I think we just identified some value in the Clippers game there, but like there's some value here. We'll see what else opens up. But Durant is somebody I definitely want to get. Like the Durant Luka stack, if there's a way to do that, let's find a way to do that. But it's going to be really tough with those prices, and I don't know that we see too much injury stuff here. That's air quotes injury stuff, rest situations, things like that. might not be as prevalent, even though every single team is on the slate.
If I could have figured out how to get the video working, I would have seen the air quotes, but people would have seen it as well. If you guys are listening on YouTube, I don't know if we're posting this on YouTube. We may. We'll see. But please, kindly hit that like button, subscribe, turn on those notifications. What do you have tomorrow as far as work-wise? Are you writing expert survey? Are you going to be on – are we talking this late again on Grinders Live? Are you going to be on Crunch Time or what?
I have not even checked the media schedule, to be honest with you. I am on the Monday Night Football survey if you're interested in that.
Baltimore versus – who are they playing?
Oh, man, now you're putting me on the spot.
We don't know the day before. Yeah, you'll figure it out tomorrow.
Exactly, yes. NBA content, I believe I'm doing value rankings, and that's the only NBA responsibility I have, unless I have media responsibilities. I might see you on a show tomorrow. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you, the one good thing about the 15-minute increments, if you're doing like crunch time, you could backload stuff, or I guess you can wait. Like, you're only missing one game as far as lock. I mean, I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't do crunch time. Like, I would hate the part of it of, like, you know, you're working right after the bell.
Oh, yeah. It's really, really hard to do, especially like multi-entry. Like, I usually build 20 or 40 lineups. Like, it's really tough to do when you're on crunch time, because especially NBA, like baseball, it's doable.
Yeah.
It's still uncomfortable, but doable. NBA, like, it's really tough.
Yeah. Somebody gets scratched in baseball, you can figure it out on the fly. Like, it doesn't mean like all of a sudden that, like, you know, if Josh Donaldson gets scratched, all of a sudden Aaron Judge is going to bat 12 times. It doesn't work that way. It would be amazing if that was the case. Yeah. Give Keith a follow at EYS819DFS on the old Twitter. I'm at DFS_Almanac. I don't know who's going to be with you guys tomorrow night. I guess you're not on this podcast tomorrow. Stevie will be back. Maybe it's Grant. Not sure.
No podcast tomorrow because Luch and Will for the morning grind for Wednesday's slate of games. I am on. I just happened to pull up the media schedule since I realized I had no idea. I'm on the Monday Night Football pre-lock show with Luch. So check that out for sure. That's going to be a fun game.
Win yourself a million bucks.
I'm gonna try. You and Kirkwood, Granger's live tomorrow to break down this massive slate again.
Oh man, Kirkwood's going to be not happy. I love Kirkwood. He's fun to talk sports with, and he sent me a clip in the DM, and I think he actually tweeted it out. Like, we were on the I don't know why I'm extending this podcast.
Yeah, we haven't been here long enough.
What am I doing? But he did say he sent me a clip of him saying how much he hated Joe Mixon. And I think that's a good place to finish.
That closes it out well.
This was the Roto-Grinders Morning Grind Podcast, sponsored by Sleeper Fantasy. We do appreciate y'all listening. That was Keith Eister. I was Dean. Follow me at DFS_Almanac. Good luck. Win some money. Tweet us if you guys win something. Tweet us if you just like made it through the whole thing. And, you know, that's impressive in itself. Thanks for watching, listening. We're out of here. Holler.